Like to say good morning to everybody. We're very thankful to have each and every person on the call this morning. Welcome to our worship service with the Hollow Heights Church of Christ in Houston, Texas. If you visit with us from other congregations, you are very welcome guests as well. And those who are not members of the Church of Christ, you are the VIP of our call. For the Church of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. And yes, we believe that Jesus hung on the tree of the cross, and there he shed his blood. Suffered for 6 long hours and shed the blood that would wash your sins away in baptism upon your obedience. And then he would add you to the only church to read about the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. We believe that with all of our heart. We believe that the Bible has all the answers. If you want to be saved, you're going to obey it and live according to the Scriptures. Live accordingly. And then, so we thank you for joining us. We're studying the book of Acts this morning. We thank all those brothers who served before me already. If you turn your Bible to Acts chapter 5, we'll go there this morning. Continuing our study of the book of Acts, and the sermon title this morning, If It Be of God, You Cannot Overthrow It. If it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Thought there is that whenever God is doing something, man cannot stop it. Let's go back and recap to get our thoughts up to verse 12 in Acts chapter 5. There we learn from starting in verse 1, that Peter and John have healed a lame man at a gate called Beautiful. And then Peter and John have been instructed by the religious leaders to no longer speak in the powerful name of Jesus. Peter and John then was locked up overnight, threatened, now released by these men. So Peter and John returned back to their company of believers that we studied last week. And their company sold possessions, so that none lacked among them. Ananias and Sapphira, however, held back. And they lied to God and paid a severe penalty of immediate death. And the death of Ananias and Sapphira brought great fear upon the people. We talked about that extensively last week, how we must be careful. Those of us who have businesses and all these other ways of prospering and profiting, and being selling land and doing things like that, but not giving back to the Lord at all, you prosper. You know, that's dangerous. We talked about that last week. God loves a cheerful giver. And so God never told them the percentage to give, but he wanted them to give because he was the greatest giver. That was, he gave his only son to die for us. If you want more information on that lesson, go back for last week, and we talked in great details about the danger of holding back from giving to the Lord freely. Now, verse number 12, the Bible will pick up there in verse 12, Acts 5. And the Bible says there, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. They were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Now the apostles are continuing. These signs are known as miracles. They started these miracles in Acts chapter 2 when they started speaking in tongues and they could understand in their own language. We talked about that. No one is doing that today. We deal with that as well, about tongue speaking and things of that nature. Miracles are not being performed today. I'll just tell you that up front. What they were doing at that time, the apostles did not have the finished New Testament as we have it in writing. So the Holy Spirit gave them a way to prove to the people, to confirm the word, need to prove to the people that what they were doing was something that only God could provide. They used miracles to convince the people that they were from God. But in this case, these miracles were working, and they were doing it in the mighty name of Jesus, and they kept doing it even though they had been told not to do it anymore by these religious leaders. Notice, now, they are all in one accord, still hanging around Solomon's porch where Peter healed that lame man. He started leaping and praising God in chapter 3, verse 11 there. They still at Solomon's porch. And verse 13 said, and the rest, durst not, no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. Now the rest there are the unconverted people who are just looking at the miracles that have been performed by Peter now. And they're listening to what they're teaching. But they had not obeyed the gospel. They were not ready to join this company of believers yet. The people were magnified and lifting up the apostles for this they knew something very special was going on because they were seeing these people getting healed and mighty works were being done by the apostles. Now, here's a lesson. Just because people don't join to us immediately as members of the Church of Christ doesn't make us wrong or mean they're not listening. And I'm glad the next verse is in the Bible here. And the believer and believers were the more added to the Lord. Now, here's the thing. You need to be listening carefully tonight, today, if you're not over. You're not a member of the Church of Christ, and you have not been baptized, you're not taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday, you're not in the one true church. The Bible is the Word of God, and it only will help somebody who believes it. You know, when a person is a believer, they mean they believe in the Word of God. And the people who were more added, see how it says more added to the Lord, they were added to the Lord multitudes, both of men and women. Now, here's the point. They could not just join in on the rest of this company if they wanted to. Just like today, no one can join the Church of Christ. Why? They have to be added to the Lord. You see here in this verse, they were more added to the Lord. Now, the Lord is the one who do the adding, not the leadership. No one puts your name on the roll. The Bible said in Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church. And notice we added to, the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. So the saved are added to the church, meaning one, and the Lord is doing the added upon the obedience of one who believed his word. And now, you know, people say today, I joined the church. You can't join the church in the Bible. It wasn't something a person could voluntarily join or be added to by someone else. They had to obey God, and then God added them to the church. So if you want to be a member of the Church of Christ, you have to obey God. We have nothing to do with that other than carrying out the baptism commands that he's given us, but you have to make a decision to be added to the Lord. And to be added to the Lord is to be added to the church. Now, the body is the church, and the head of the body is Christ, Ephesians 5:23 and following verse. So you can't have the head without the body. And so when the Bible said, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. So to die in the Lord is to die in his body. His body is the church. Ephesians 4:4 says there is one body. 4:5-6 says there is one Lord, one body. And that body, according to Ephesians 1:22, Colossians 1:18, Colossians 1:24, tell us that the body is the church. So what are you saying, brother? I'm saying if you want to be saved, you have to. You have to become a believer, first of all. Now, I'm going to just say this so that you understand that most people today are not believers. You say, well, brother, no, they're not believers. People who believe they're in a burning house, they don't ask questions. They just get out of it. So when a person is a believer in the Bible, you don't have to tell them to be baptized over and over and over and convince them. When you read what Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But believe it, don't question that. People who question the Bible are unbelievers. I'm going to tell you that the people who go to heaven will be believers. And there are going to be some who were unbelievers who thought they were believers, and Jesus identifies them in Matthew chapter 7. In verse 21, he said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, there you are. These are these believers, so-called believers. They thought they were believers. They call on Jesus as their Lord. Notice this now. Not everyone, this is Jesus says this. This is what Jesus said. They're like, I believe in Jesus. Well, they believe what he said. This is what he said. Not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He just said, not everybody who believed, who called himself believers, is going to go to heaven. But he did do the will of my Father. Then he said, many will say, here they go again. Many of these so-called believers will say, Lord, they call him Lord. See that? They're believers in Jesus as Lord. Did we not prophesy in your name, done many wonderful works in your name? They were doing good things, feeding the hungry, helping the sick. All these were believers in Jesus. But Jesus said in verse number 23, depart from me, I never knew you. You were a worker of iniquity. See, when you're a worker of iniquity, that means you don't believe what's written in the scripture. It makes it real simple to you. What it is, a worker of iniquity make up their own way to be saved. Like he said, well, you know, God know my heart. Yeah, he do know your heart, but he also gave you a law you got to obey. He know when you don't obey what he's saying. He know when you don't believe in the Bible. You don't believe in the Bible, you believe in Jesus. And here's an oxymoron, if you ever thought of one. I think that's what this is. Let me call it that at this point. When a person say, they believe in Jesus, they believe that they in Jesus, but they don't believe in the Bible. You know, you ever thought about that? The only place you learn of Jesus is in a book called the Bible. You wasn't in Jerusalem. You never saw Jesus. You never laid your eye on him. How can you tell me you believe in Jesus, but you don't believe in the Bible? You believe in Jesus, but you don't believe in baptism. You believe in Jesus, but you don't believe in one church. You believe in Jesus, but you don't believe in one in the Church of Christ. It's in the same book. So your belief is flawed. I'm just going to be honest with you. You need to know this. I'm talking to those who are not members of the Church of Christ. Your belief is flawed. You got to decide if you're going to believe. If you're going to believe, then believe everything in the book. If you believe everything in the book, you'll be a member of the Church of Christ. You'll be baptized. You'll be taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday. You'll call yourself a Christian. You wouldn't call yourself a Baptist. You wouldn't call yourself a Methodist. You wouldn't call yourself an Episcopal. You wouldn't call yourself a Catholic. Because none of them are in this book. And he said, well, Brother Brooke, I don't like what you're saying. No, you don't like the truth. That's what you don't like. Because that's the truth. I'm not saying that to be arrogant or mean. I'm just telling you. Somebody needs to tell you. And I'll be just be point blank, which is just, I don't have no shame to tell people the truth. The shame on those who don't tell people the truth. That's the way I feel about it. But to each his own, I guess, say it like that. But to be added to the Lord, to be added to his church. That's my point I'm making. You can't join the church. You listening to us this morning, you want to be a member of the Church of Christ, you the only church in the Bible, then you have to do what believers do. Believers believe, and believers obey. They respond and obey. Whom they obey? God. You don't obey man. You don't do it because I said it. You did it because you read it in the book. The Bible said multitudes of men and women were being added because they were believers. Now, what were they believing? Watch this. Here's their response in verse 15, Acts 5. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, and at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. These people they've seen these miracles, and they started the apostles were saved, healing sick people they'd never seen walk and talk. They've seen this man jumper who never walked from his mother's womb. They've seen people being healed, had all these diseases, and they said, oh, Peter got some kind of power, man. If I can just get my mama, who got cancer right next to him, if I can just get my son, who's in a wheelchair, paralyzed, if I can just get him by the shadow of Peter, he'll be healed. That's how much they believed in what they were doing. You know, as I've stated several times in this series, it just amazes me how people don't use common sense in America, or in the world, for that matter. The purpose of miracles would serve the same purpose today if these so-called miracle workers and healers and these fake preachers and these fake churches got talk about the apostles' church. If there was an apostle, we'd be taking trying to get them to be like Peter immediately because they had some power nobody else had. You know, ain't nobody got this kind of power. They people are being bamboozled. Yeah, just bamboozled, hoodwinked, and believing this and sending money to them and going up to the, and then they go up to the hospital and stand over the bed of somebody sick in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. They didn't do none of that. And they didn't get up and walk. The people walked out of the hospital. They're still in the bed. Now, why don't we use some common sense? People ought to know that's not from God. If it be of God, no man can overthrow it. If it was of God, man could not stop it. These hospitals would be empty if God wanted them to be empty. If God wanted it. Yeah, they got these men out here lying and telling people these lies and getting money from them. All over TV, you see them jumping around, flopping around on the floor like they got something. There ain't nothing going on. Nobody being healed like that. They know. Look at this. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about the Jerusalem, bringing sick folk. Look what they were doing. These folk were so impressed with what Peter and them were doing. They went back and got their friends and family, loved ones, bringing them sick, dealing with vexed but unclean spirit and spirit. Some of them were possessed, and they were healed. No, no, not some of them. Everyone. That's in your Bible right there in verse 16. Everyone they brought to him that was sick was healed. Multitudes of people coming to be healed. Notice not some of them. Not like these fake preachers like Benny the Hen and all them who get on TV and one or two people get healed. Everybody got healed. Everybody got healed. Now, I just want y'all to know that would be the same case right here in Houston. If Brother Brooks had the power to heal folk, everybody be lined up at Howell High trying to get them in there. They wouldn't go to MD Anderson for cancer if I could do it over there at the building. If there was anybody living in the world that could heal the people that we love that are sick, we wouldn't be going to no doctor. We would go to the Peter kind of guy that could do it immediately. Not be hooking them up on ventilators and sticking needles in. Why don't we use some common sense? People today just, in my opinion, just don't even think. Don't even think. If we just think about this, think about what's going on here in Acts. If you just read the Bible, you would see people could, with just common sense, could see no one is doing this, what Peter and them were doing. The world would be all over the news, national TV, worldwide TV. There's a healer in Houston. They wouldn't know where he said everybody would be flocking, planes to be coming to Houston if I had the same power, Peter. There's a church here called the Apostles, the Church of the Apostles. Ain't no apostles living. Everybody be over that building. I'd be over there too. Trying to get them to get up my dead wife. Amen. My dead mom and dad. I'll be trying to get them to get them up. My dead brother. I'll be trying to get. I need you to go to the graveyard with me. You know why they're not going to go? Because they ain't got the same power. They're lying. That's what they're doing. Now, in verse 17, then the high priest rose up. Watch this. And all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on their apostles and put them in a common prison. So these religious leaders see the power Peter and them had. They know they can't do this. And they know they're filled with indignation, meaning jealousy. They're stirred up. They're upset that Peter and them are able to carry on these power. They're getting the attention of the people. And these religious leaders don't want Peter and them to have this attention because they're doing it in the name of this guy called Jesus. And they told them, y'all don't need to speak in that guy's name. They know they killed him in Jerusalem, and the people are starting to believe in them. So they're so upset that they go get Peter and John, and they put them in common, a public jail. That's what common means there. A common prison means they just locked them up in jail. And so they put them in jail. Well, watch this in verse 19. But, there's a but right there in 19. You can stop at. They locked them up in jail, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth. See, here's the thing, and this is something I think all of us as Christians need to understand, that when you are a believer in God and you are a child of God, you got something the world don't have. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, possible, who can be against us? See, God was for them. And in our lives, when things are not going so well, and we think the whole world is against us, some of us get caught up in what everybody else is doing. And let me tell you, it doesn't matter what color my skin is, if God for me, no man can bother me. No man can bother me. Only what God allows. We blame it. If you're a child of God, then you ought to know that the thing that God is in your corner, and when God is in your corner, if man try to stop it, he can't overthrow what God. That's a child sermon. If this thing be of God, man can't stop it. But I just say people like this, when you're Christian and people are trying to hate on you or whatever, and you say, you know, God be for me. If God be for me, you just a who. And God will move who's out the way. And sometimes God put who's in boxes. They roll them in the building, roll them out of the box. Because he moved the who's out the way. So if God be for you, who can be against you? So in your life, you need God to be with you. So you're going through all this stuff in your life because you're leaving God out. If you put God in your life, then no matter what prison you get put into, and I just make an application right here just so some of us can get it. See, some people are in prisons of self-pity, abuse, mortality, physical abuse or whatever, low points in life. People going through things, you're going through some tough times in your life. I know. You're in your prison cell of sin, you're caught up in something you want to get out of. You got to go back to God. When you go back to God, God can open the prison cell. He can open themselves up for you. See, many of you are not going to prosper in life because you don't let God in your life. Because you need God to be for you. He said, what are you saying? But I'm saying all of us, every one of us on this call need to obey God and live according to his will. That don't mean you will be perfect. But you mean when you put God in your life and you keep God in your life and you keep doing what God told you to do, he'll be on your side. When God is for you, man can't stop it. Man can't stop you. Man cannot stop a child of God. If God be for you, who can be against you? When are we going to decide to just live for God? What does that mean, man? Put him first. That's what it means. Put in first. Worship. Obey Him. Worship Him. Do what He said to do. Give right. Take your communion. Live according to the Scripture. When you fall, make your confession. Confess your fault. Get up and try again. This is not a race given to the swift. You gotta run this race. You gotta work at it. It's kind of like being a boxer, right? You gotta get in the ring first. Now, when you get in the ring, don't get in the ring expecting not to get hit. The devil gonna try to knock us out. But if God is in your corner, all you gotta do is get up. It's a simple analogy. How are we gonna win? I was talking to a brother the other day. You know, how our children are gonna win? When I teach my children what to do, then they have to fight the fight. They say, I can't fight it for them. I can't get in the ring for them. They gotta decide to get in there and fight like daddy did. I'm fighting. I ask anyone. You say, what you got on me, brother? You think you're all righteous, Brother Brooks? No. Here's one thing I got on many people. I'm trying. I guarantee you, I get up and I fight. I've been fighting 30, going on 37 years now. Got a perfect fight. But I done got knocked out, too. But I done seen stars. He hit me so hard. Laying on the canvas. And God is saying, get up. I'm still in your corner. How many of y'all have been knocked out? You've been knocked out by drugs, alcohol. You've been knocked out because of life. You've been knocked out. You've been knocked down. You've been talked about. You've been messed up. Your children about to drive you crazy. All these things are going on. And you fall down. You leave the church. People leave the church because they're going through problems in their job, going through problems at home, going through problems in their marriage. You leave God. You just laying down on the carpet. You laying on the canvas. He's over there saying, when you going to get up? I ain't left you. You left me. And so I'm talking to you. There's an application there right there. These guys are in prison, but God sends an angel. So God can send some help to you. That's what I'm trying to get us to see. His angel said, now, here's what he did. The Bible says that when he sent the angel, that the doors of prison were open. And he said, man, they need no keys. His angel said, go stand and speak. The angel gives them divine words. This is the spokesman for God. He said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people. And notice what he tells them. Tell them all the words, now watch this, of this life. See, the angel wasn't no human being. The life he was talking about was spiritual. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life. John 14. What life is he talking about? Y'all go tell them all the words of this life. See, you can't talk about the life of a Christian without talking about the life of Christ. Now, he is the life. So when these men preach Christ, they're preaching this life. So, brothers and sisters, if you're on the call, remember, we are living this life. It's the life of Christ. Christ-like life. That's why you won't see me cutting up and cussing and fighting and jumping on folks and shooting people. That's not the life of Christ. That's not the life of Christ. I mean, you won't see me parading around and following groups that are not scriptural, that not living the life of Christ. You won't see me engaging in alliance with any denomination of preachers who don't teach the life of Christ. To teach the life of Christ or to live the life of Christ requires knowing the doctrine or the teachings of Christ. 2 John verse 9, the Bible says, whosoever transgresseth abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Why? They have no spiritual life. So the words of this life are spiritual words, and anytime we preach Jesus, we're preaching the word of life. Now, you got to preach Jesus, word of life, without adding to it or taking from it. That was the group I talked about earlier, the so-called believers who are workers of iniquity. They take the part of Jesus they want and they throw away what they don't want. They take Christ and love him and throw away his church. They take Christ and love him and throw away communion every Sunday. They take Christ and love him and live like whatever they want to live. Once saved, always saved. And there's a preacher out there preach that. But you can't read the word of life and read about once saved, always saved. You can't read the word of life and read with no one pray the sinner's prayer to be saved. No, you got to do what it says. Yeah, so the angels told him what to do. So he tell the apostles, them are being guided by the Holy Spirit. The angel comes to speak to them, told them what to do. So the lesson to us is even when we are rejected, when people reject, you know, no doubt, none, that's going to be, I'm going to be in that case probably longer than Peter did, because I'm pretty bold in what I say. You know, everybody's not going to accept my preaching. I already know that. I already know that some folks prefer to see me locked up. Because I'm preaching this one church thing. I'm preaching it hard, too. I'm not backing up. I'm not backing down. I don't fear man. I'm gonna call the names. Why, these guys had to stand. He told them, go stand and speak. Go stand and speak. Don't leave no words. All the words of this life. So even when I'm rejected, or any young men on the call that are preachers, that's why when people go through my preaching program, I really monitor them. I'm trying to see, well, why are you in that pulpit? Because you use a big old fancy word that go over the head of people who don't have nothing but a basic education. What is the purpose? You know, why are you doing that? What are you up there for? You want somebody to pat you on your back? Now, when we stand and speak in the temple, these people needed to be saved. These people needed to hear what God wanted them to do. And Peter knew that. And when we stand and speak, we speak as the oracles of God. Any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability God give it. God in all things may be glorified. When we speak that God gets glory. And that's what Peter is doing here. The angel gave him that direct instructions in verse number 21 when they heard that. So Peter and them were listening to the angel. They entered into the temple early. They didn't wait. They went early in the morning. Early in the morning and talk. Immediately they went straight and started teaching again. Even though they're lying to their state, they've been thrown in prison. But look at it. The high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together. Here they go again, trying to get these two guys, Peter and them, and all the Senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison and to have them brought. Peter John. Peter them obeyed the angel and went back and started preaching again. When God sends the messenger into your life with the truth, you ought to obey it without hesitation. When people are looking for truth, you'll find truth if you're looking at it. Sometimes we get, if this members of the church, we get so upset over our family members or our friends or you know, somebody you want to marry and somebody you really want them to be saved. You really want them to become a Christian. And they don't want to become a Christian. You know why? They're not seeking truth. You are disturbed over someone who don't want truth. You have to come to terms with that. It could be your mama. It could be your daddy. It could be your fiance. Because you love them. They got to love God. That's your first sign that you don't need to marry that person. They don't love God. That's why so many marriages are in trouble. When people marry people who are outside of the church don't love God. That's what's caused the problem. And so here we look at this. When people are really seeking truth, the message from the Bible is true. John 4:23, Jesus said, "The hour coming and now is, when the true worshiper, notice this, shall worship the Father in spirit and truth." He said, "For the Father seeketh such to worship him." See, God don't even look for a person to be saved until they are seeking to be true worshiper. You have to learn to be true worshiper. So no matter how much truth we present, no matter how much the message is from God, if that person don't want to obey truth, they're going to be hesitating. But when a person wants to obey truth, they don't have to beat them over the head with the Bible. You don't have to listen to it. You might have something, no doubt, it's probably something you on this call that heard me preach 50 times or more. You might have been on the conference call because it's so convenient for the last 6 months of May. You've been listening, you can tell me about every sermon, you still ain't got baptized. You know why? Because you don't believe. You just on this call for the fun of it. If you believed that you could die in your sin, you would do something about it. You would. But you don't believe it. You don't believe what I'm preaching. You can't listen to me. I don't believe no one can stay on this line, listen to Tommy Brooks preach, and not, and then listen to me as if you're having fun, and don't hear the urgency that I'm placing on you doing something about saving your soul. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? This is just a fun thing I'm doing? No, I'm appealing to you that you ought to believe this book called the Bible, and I would dare you to do this. read behind me. Try to find something wrong with what I'm saying, because no, you can't. Not if you believe the Bible. Not if you believe the Bible. No, sir, you can't. You can't do it. Not if you believe the Bible. No. You can't do it. I'm not doing that. The Bible. I'm saying the Bible is always going to be right. It ain't gonna never change. It's going to always say one church. It's going to always say one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. It's going to say, he that believes is baptized. Mark 16, 15 to 16. It's going to say the same thing. I'm saying over and over and over. What church? Church of Christ, Romans 16, 16. It's going to say that every time you read Romans 16. Or you can be like the old lady who got tired of hearing about the one church, and she told a pagan out her Bible, but guess what? Don't buy another one, because it's going to be right back in there. Doesn't matter. The question is, when you going to obey God? When you going to take this serious? Look at this. These religious leaders are there. They're going to send these men to prison. They're sending them to look for them in the prison. But when they get there, what is that? They're not there. These guys are not in prison. But when the officers came, verse 22, and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, hey, them guys we locked up yesterday, they ain't in there no more. The prison, he said, the prison truly found, we shut. Well, I'll say, you know, the locks are still on the doors. And the keeper's standing without, the guards are still standing at the door thinking Peter and them in there. But when he had opened, we found no man within. Look at this. God don't need no key to unlock a prison. And well, I think about people, when we start talking about this COVID thing, yeah. Oh, and then you start looking at all of the stuff that went in the political world, and who's going to do this, and this man doing this, and this one man doing that, he doing this. Man, if God won't stop, I don't care who it is. Ain't no man can do nothing God don't want him to do. God can stop anybody. Ain't no folk going to stop. God can take anybody out. Biden, Trump, anybody. Putin. We'll never give a man that much credit. And don't get so upset over it when you know God is in control. Now, I can turn off life. He can turn it off just like that. And some of us as Christians, we get all shook up over this stuff. I don't understand this. Some of us are too politicized. You turn that TV off. You're getting influenced by the news. Go back to the Bible. Read what God can do. You won't be all shook up over this stuff. Turn them TVs off. And start reading your Bible and stop getting less influenced by this kind of stuff. These leaders ain't got no power or opinion, John. They can lock them up, do whatever they want to do with God. Guess what? Open that door. Don't need no key. What we need in this world is to learn to know God is in control of everything that happens, and God can allow whatever he wants to allow to happen, and ain't no man can lock us up and keep us from serving him, because God can open anything. Ain't nobody can stop us. Ain't nobody. If God be for us, nobody can be against us. No one can hurt us. No one can hinder us from worship. If God wants us to worship, they are not going to be able to stop us from worshiping. Man cannot be stopped. When we become true believers in God, then you start talking like I'm talking. Because I know who's in control of this life. I know who's in control of my life. I know who's going to save when it's over. He's going to save when it's over. He's going to save the day it's over. He's going to make the decision. It's appointed unto man once to die. After that, there's a judgment. There's a judgment. That's going to happen too. What do? You got to obey God. And it starts with believing the Bible. When you believe the Bible, you'll get baptized. When you believe the Bible, you'll know your sins will be washed away. When you believe the Bible, you'll want to be in the true church if you read the Bible. That's the only thing. Because only if you're going to make it in, you know that right. There's a day of judgment coming. Now, when the high priest, in verse 24, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted them. They weren't until they were grown. They said, now, these religious leaders are down perplexed and puzzled, like, man, what the... We're into this will grow, meaning this thing is going to get bigger and bigger if we don't do something. It's called Pop Peter and them, the influence and a multitude of people are coming around. They ain't listening to these religious leaders no more. They started to look at Peter and John. And then came one and told them, saying, well, look, hey, the men whom we put in prison, they standing in the temple and teaching the people early in the morning. This guy ran back to them. He went to the prison. They ain't in there. The doors are still locked. The guards are standing there. But Peter ain't there. And we go back and tell him. Tell them, hey, this guy's ain't in there. What are you at? He said, what are you at? They're out there preaching. Those guys in the temple, just like the angel told them. The angel told them, go back to the temple and start teaching. That's exactly what Peter then does. Just like the Lord done told us what to do, preach the word. He told me to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. That's what he told me. I said, well, I'm under charge. I have to preach the word. In season, that means when you agree with me and when you don't agree with me, I still must stand in the temple and preach. That's what Peter's doing here. I'm going to stand and preach. I'm going to preach the truth. The truth applies to me just as much as it do to you, and I'm going to stand and preach it. And that's what Peter and them are doing right here. That's what he is. You're in Brother Style now. We're going to stand and preach. I can speak to Brother Style. He's with me right there. We're going to stand in the temple and preach the truth. In other words, we're standing at the church in the pulpit and preach the truth. And when the shoe fit, put it on. Put it on. I put mine on when it fit. They shocked. But Peter will do exactly what the angel told him to do. He'll do exactly what the Word of God tells us to do. How can they be out there preaching and standing in the temple when they're supposed to be locked up? These guys don't know what's going on. They don't know they're dealing with God. Somebody going to tell them here in a minute, though. And then went the captain with the officer. Here they go, the big guys in charge. Don't they make you think about the captain and all the people who think they're in charge or something. All the president and congressmen and senators, everybody in charge, all in power, really. Watch what happens here. You want to see who's in charge? Let's see. Both of them were down the island. But they feared the people. They got the word. These guys are supposed to be in charge. They're captain. They worried about the multitude of people going to jump on them because they're messing with Peter. They feared the people. So they should be stoned. These guys go and get Peter and John without violence. We ain't gonna hurt you. We ain't gonna hurt them. We ain't gonna hurt Peter and John. Don't hurt us. Don't stone us. We want to talk to them. They were afraid. If this type of healing was going on in Houston or anywhere, and no matter who the man was, if he had that power, man, the folk would protect me to get their loved one to me. They wouldn't let no police come get me. Man, you leave him alone. He's going to be the only man to get my dad out of that sick bed. He's the only man to raise up my mama. You think they would let that man get to me? And that's the case here. These people ain't going to let these guys get to Peter and them when they're healing their family members and things like that. We would be the same way. And the Bible says, when they had bought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them. Watch this, verse 28. I'm about to finish. And I'm sure some of you are going to be happy I'm finished. I've been talking to you. Now watch these brothers stand straight. Did we not straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? They pull them out so the people could hear. And they ask, did we tell you not to preach in this name? Talk about Jesus. And behold, you know, when filled you with your doctrine, now don't spell that word doctrine, D-O-C-T-R-I-N-E. That's one kind of teaching they were doing. And intend to bring this man's blood upon us. You're trying to make us look bad. Y'all preaching this Jesus, and these people going to start believing in it, and then they going to know we the one crucified it. We killed it. You trying to make these people believe that Jesus you talk about has power, and now you're going to try to you teach it what he told y'all to teach, and the people are starting to believe it, and these leaders are concerned. They're concerned. Did we not tell you to stop preaching this? Jerusalem is filled with this doctrine, this teaching. Now, this doctrine is called the doctrine of Christ. 2 John verse 9, as I quoted earlier, also is called the apostles' doctrine. See, the apostle Peter taught the same thing as Christ told him to teach. So they're being guided by the Holy Spirit, called the doctrine of Christ. So this is what America needs. This is what the Jerusalem got that day. But the whole world, especially America, if all these different churches and doctrines and commandments of men all over the place. People got church buildings built on every corner. Everybody there doing some praise dance, some jumping and flopping, some tithing, some calling Jesus on his name three times to get saved, some standing on their head, some praying a sinner's prayer, some doing everything but what the Bible say do. Doing everything but what God said in the Bible. We got a terrible world with a man is a terrible thing. Man just come up with his own thought out many inventions, come up with whatever you want to say in the name of God. Not going to get away with it. Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, "These people draw not unto me with their mouth, unto me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They don't know what they're doing. They mind. They being filled with stuff ain't even from the Bible. That's the heart. The heart has a man thinking in his heart, so is he. The heart is far from me," Jesus said. "In vain," notice what he called it, "in vain they worship me." Jesus said, they worship me. It ain't no good, though. Why is it no good? Teach it for doctrine. But this time he got an S on it. Well, Peter and them taught doctrine. Men teach doctrines of men. That's why he got about 40,000 different churches in the encyclopedia. You can't find no 40,000 churches in the Bible. There's one. You gotta go to Wikipedia, just Google it. If you Google it, you'll see all these. Where they come from? Man. Man started these churches. What is the problem? They didn't obey God. Peter, look at Peter. Peter's response to these guys. Peter and the other apostles answered. You know, we ought to obey God rather than man. Here's the same answer that we ought to give when people challenge us from the day. You don't obey no man. You don't obey Brother Brooks. I'm wrong. Don't follow me. Don't do what I say. If people would think like this today, we would not have all these religious divisions that we have today. Many, even the Church of Christ preachers, be called on the carpet by some of the stuff they're doing in the Churches of Christ. Yeah, some of the stuff that's going on in worship these days. We ought to obey God rather than man. Somebody ought to stand up in that church and say, you know, this ain't the Church of Christ no more. Y'all done turned into some kind of Pentecostal church or something. All the beatboxing on the mics and praise dance and praise teams and all this stuff going on in the church. Sad in my heart. What is the problem? People don't stop obeying God. Start obeying man. Why should we obey God rather than men? Here's why, verse 30 through 32. "And the God of our father raised up Jesus." Peter speaks up and says something. "Whom you slew." He said, "Were you trying to bring this man blood on us?" He said, "The God of our fathers got Jesus up. You killed him, slew him, and hung him on a tree." And then he says, "Him that God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior." So Isaiah said, Isaiah 9:6, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And then Peter's reminding them, "Y'all killed the prince. You killed the savior of the world. You killed him. He came to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witness of these things. We saw y'all kill him." Oh, Peter said, that's why no apostle lived in faith to be an apostle. You had to see all this stuff. They were eyewitnesses of what they did to Jesus. None of us are eyewitnesses. So he showed it also to all those whom God had given to them to obey him. Consider what God did by giving his only son, my friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, and Jesus by giving a life. Shouldn't we obey God after all he done? That we say, Peter trying to get them to see, this is what happened. Y'all killed him. You hung him on the tree. And he had just told me, we're going to obey God rather than y'all. Here's what God does for you. Here's what you're doing. What did God do? He sent his son that Israel can have forgiveness of sin. They can repent and have forgiveness of sin. When Peter first preached this sermon in Acts 2:38. The people, those Jews, they're asking, "Men and brothers, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin." That was the message. You get the Holy Spirit and eternal life. You can't have eternal life if you don't obey the Spirit. And anyone who obeys the Spirit will be obedient to God. To obey the Spirit today, you got to obey what's written. The written. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one church. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. Now, our spirit must bear witness with the Spirit of God. In other words, your inner spirit has to agree with the Spirit of God, which gave us the Bible. When you read the Bible, if your mind agrees with the Bible, then you obey. You're in agreement with God. You're being guided by the Holy Spirit. He won't jump into your body and make you go to baptism. You got to make a decision. God gives us free will. So here it is. You ought to obey God. Now, the forgiveness of sin can come when you obey God. So my question to those who are listening as I close, have you obeyed God? Is God on your side? Is God for you? Have you obeyed God, or are you obeying man? What are you doing? Do you take Lord's Supper on the first Sunday? Do you call yourself a Baptist, Method Catholic? You have to obey God, yeah. She put the books, my mom was a Catholic. What she need to hear this? Send her the CD. Tell her go to our website. Somebody got to call her. You, Ellen. Somebody got to call them. All my family Baptist, they need to hear it, whether they like it or not. I tell them, with every chance I get to preach in my hometown, I tell them, everybody know I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell them. They don't have to believe it, but I'm going to tell them. They ain't in the Bible. You're taking a chance. Listen to this. Have you obeyed God? Have you been born again? Why would you get baptized for remission of sin? Because you're going to obey God or you're going to obey me. Let me share how to obey. In closing, listen to the advice of the man the mule gave these people. When they heard that, verse 33, they were cut to the heart and took counsel and to slay them. They got upset. And they're going to say, how are we going to kill them? Then stood up there one in the council. This guy, here come another Pharisee. You see what they get ready to do. Peter, then, his name is Gamaliel. He was a doctor of the law, meaning he had education, he was a professor of the law. He's not a Christian, then. So I said, see, there's a doctor so-and-so. You know, a lot of preachers in the church call themselves doctor. Now, I preach against reverend and doctor, both of them. The Bible said, Jesus said, you're all brethren. I'm Brother Brooks, and you can be a doctor on the college campus. When you get into preaching the Word of God, you're a brother. But the mule was no Christian. I had a man one time tell me, I said, man, y'all call yourself doctor. What are we supposed to do? We preach against reverend, and then we got Church of Christ preach calling himself doctor. He said, well, the mule was a doctor. And the mule was no Christian. He was a Pharisee. I'm talking about Christians. Show me in the Bible where there was a Christian referred to as a doctor. They're not in there, I tell you. Not in there. So here he is. He's a doctor in law, had a reputation among the people. Someone who was educated. And he commanded to put the apostles before he sent a fourth in this space. And y'all put the apostles out. I need to talk to y'all. And he said to them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves and what you intend to do. He said, man, let me tell y'all something. Y'all getting ready to mess up. Talk to these men. I'm going to tell you all. But he said, let me give y'all a reminder. Before by this guy named Thutis. But before these days rose up Thutis, boasting himself to be somebody. He said, now, remember this guy named Thutis? We thought he was somebody too. To whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves. So people started following this guy named Thutis, Gamaliel's mother, who was slain, and all his men and boys were scattered, brought to nothing. He said, man, that guy, he stood up like he was somebody, like Peter and them were. And they took him down. He had a lot of people who followed him, but it didn't last. He said it did not last. False teachers and doctrines won't last if God ain't for them. If God is not for you, you won't make it. And so all these people think they're going to obey God and be saved in the end. They're not. If they haven't obeyed God, you're following the man. Thutis, they were following Thutis. And then he said in verse 37, and this man rose up Judas. He said, oh, there's another example I can give you. A man named Judas of Galilee in the days of taxes. And he's talking to these Pharisees. Y'all remember him? You remember Thutis? Remember Judas of Galilee in the days of taxes? And drew away much people. So all the people followed Judas. And then he said, he also perished. Judas died. And even as many as obeyed him were dispersed. When they obeyed men, nothing came of it. So in verse 38, he says this. Then, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men. Y'all better leave them alone. Let them alone. For this, if this counsel or this work, with Peter, talking about Peter, them doing the apostles, if it be of men, it's going to end. It ain't going to last. But if it be of God, this is where I get myself to God. You cannot overthrow it. Lord, that's what you should get from this message today. Anything that God has put in place, man can't stop it. Less happily you be found even fight against God. That's what many people are doing today. They're fighting against truth. But when you fight against truth, my friend, you're on the call today because you've been invited by somebody who invited you, but you ain't trying to obey that. You're not fighting. You're fighting not with us. You're fighting with God. You're fighting against God over the church. You're fighting against God over baptism. You're fighting against God over taking communion. And your soul is going to be lost in this world. You ain't hurting nobody but yourself. And who you hurting? And him, they agreed. They said, they started thinking about what he said. And when they had called the apostles, beat them, they said, we're going to whoop them real good anyway. And they commanded that y'all do not speak in the name of Jesus no more. Let them go. And departed from the presence of the council. Peter and them left, rejoiced, and they were counted worthy of suffering for the shame for his name. And daily in the temple, every house, they didn't obey no man. They said, man, y'all can't tell us what to do. You can't tell us what to do. We're going to keep preaching and teaching. That's the position I take. When it comes to preaching the truth, people can't tell us what to do when it comes. You got to preach the truth. just like God told him. You know, obey God rather than man. Why? If God be for something, man cannot stop it. So this morning, if you're on the call this morning, you ought to obey God. And when God is in your corner, you've got something going for you. When God, you fight against God, you're fighting a losing battle. How do you be saved? How were you saved? How were you saved? Did you obey God or did you obey man? Did you pray a sinner's prayer? Did you wait 2 or 3 weeks before they baptized? Are you called Baptist because your daddy wasn't Baptist or your mama wasn't, or your mother because your mama wasn't Baptist? You didn't obey God. Do you obey God because of what's written in the scripture? Are you in a modern day denomination in the church? It was started by some man. You're a bad man. The Church of Christ was started in Jerusalem and is still alive today, and no man can overthrow it. No one can stop the church. Jesus said in Matthew 16:8 that the grave could even stop it. Matthew 16:8 said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell, meaning the Hadean world, the graveyard. Nobody can stop it. He got up early on Sunday morning. Couldn't nobody stop the church. He got up, he purchased the church with the blood, Acts 20:28, and that church today is still alive. And the causes of God, no man can stop the church of Christ. No man can stop the plan of salvation that we're preaching because it's right. It's right from God's word. And no matter if they lock us up, God can unlock doors. If you're on the call this morning and you want to be saved, then you need to let God unlock your door of unbelief, unlock your door of rejection. Unlock the door you have of fighting with God and allow you some humility to obey him before you turn too late. So I just say today, if you're on the call, remember, let me just say this in closing. I know people, everybody know about death right now because God put death on TV every day with the COVID-19. Let me give y'all a perspective on that as I close so you can put death in perspective. Let me put it in perspective for you. You know, there's 150,000 people per day worldwide now. It's 150,000. All of them, that's 54 million people a year that were dying as of 2017. That's a statistic that goes back to 2017. Nobody talked about death then. No one was talking about it. Only 7,500 people per day are dying as a result of COVID. That's 100, you know how many more thousands are dying from heart attacks and car wrecks and suicides and shootings and overdoses and all these other people dying. What we're hearing about is COVID, but you got to add another 153,000, 143,000 to that death rate. Now, what number are we concerned about? It's death, period. What we're doing with COVID, what God is doing with COVID in my mind, is he's making us look at death. He's saying, y'all don't realize how many people are leaving this earth every day. It's just a matter of time for your number to be called and murdered. We got a perspective on this. You know death is real. That means only 1.4 million going to die from COVID. Well, 54 million a year die. That's a small number. So what are we shook up about? What's shaking the world up is the death. The news is putting it on the TV every day. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, that's what God said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. He said death is better than birth. That's what he said. That's what he's doing with death, and that's why people are getting so shook up over it because they're seeing death on the in their face every day. Listen to this. Death of the day of death, and then a good name is better than a precious ornament, and the day of death than the day of the woman's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all men. And watch what he says now. And the living will lay it to heart. What is he saying? He's saying that when people see dead people or they see the word death and the people are dying and they start thinking about their own death, that's the purpose of death. That's the purpose of a funeral. So God is saying, I'm going to send you to the funeral. You will look at the person in the coffin and it will remind you that your head will press this dying pillow just like the person you're looking at, and you better do something about it because sorrow is better than laughter. You ain't going to obey me by laughing. Laughing, but you can obey me when you're crying in mourning. That's what God does with death. Now, what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your life? There's a countdown. Somebody say, how old are you? Well, what do you mean by that? We start saying, how old are you? If I'm a baby, how old is that baby? He's a month old. Well, you know, that just means he's a month old. Oh, what does it mean? I'm old. We all old. What do you mean? Death can end anywhere. Death can end anywhere at any age. And if you're of the age, you can understand what I'm saying today, and you haven't obeyed it, you're in trouble. Now, Jesus said in John 8:21, if you die in your sin, where I am, you cannot come. He's finished. Go read it. John 8:21-24. Now, here's what I want to do. Here's what happened. God gave his son. His son hung, bled, and died. They beat him. He suffered tremendously for you and me. They hung him on the tree of the cross. They drove nails in his hands and his feet. This is God's only child. His only begotten son. He will allow to suffer to save us, and we won't obey him. If I were God, I would have nothing to do with you either. I give my only child. I love my children. If I had to give any one of my children to die for folk, I'd be just like God. You couldn't step foot in my house. You didn't do exactly what I told you to do. And a parent on this call wouldn't be the same way. When Jesus got a parent, his father, and he's going to be just like that. He gave his child, and then he put the writing in the book called the Bible. He put the instructions in the book. And if you don't do exactly what he tells us to do in that book, you got to deal with the daddy who gave his only son. And he said, it's a fearful thing to just stand before me in judgment. That's what he said. So his son suffered for you. He died on the cross. And when he died, they took his spirit, pierced him in the side. Out came blood and water. They took him off that cross and then buried him in a tomb. Early Sunday morning, he resurrected with power when he gave his command. Mark 16, he's going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized, shall be saved. Gospel is good news that God done his part. The good news that Jesus suffered and shed the blood that washed your sins away in baptism, the same blood purchased his church. He said, he that believed that and is baptized shall be saved. So if you're on the call today, you want to be a Christian, you got to hear, number one, that gospel that I just preached, that death, burial, and resurrection story. You got to believe. Acts 15:7 says, hear and believe the word of the gospel. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you nay, but accept you repent. In other words, you got to make a mind up that I'm going to obey God. You got to make your mind up to obey God. And then when you make your mind up, you got to make that decision. That's repentance. And then you have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before men. And then after that, you got to be baptized. You got to be baptized. Why? Because it's commanded by the Lord. If you're baptized, you add you to the one true church. That is the church of Christ. So if you're on the call this morning, you're subject to the invitation. You want to be baptized. You want to come back. Well, maybe this member of the church of Christ. Look here. God is putting death out there for those of us who need to come home. Need to repent. Need to restore. Need to ask for forgiveness. Need prayer. Need some grace. Need some mercy. Don't be afraid to ask God to give you some time. Have a church to pray for you. Some of us just need grace. We need some mercy. We need time. Because you ain't did what you need to do. Yeah. So don't be afraid to ask for prayer. You can ask for prayer if you're on the call. You're a Christian. You can ask for prayer. You can make confession. If you're not a member of Church Christ, the only thing you can do is say, I want to be baptized. You can say, I want to be baptized. I want to make that confession that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can't ask her to ask God to forgive you for your sins because it won't happen because you got to be washed and be forgiven of your sins. But you can ask us to pray for you. We'll pray for you that you don't keep putting it off because you're not being very wise and you keep putting off obeying God. You're fighting with God. That's what these people can be told. You're fighting against God because God be for this thing. You can't stop it. If you want to call him, brother, who are you going to lead us in a song? Who should come? Who should respond? By hitting 5-star on your phone. You respond if you need prayer. You respond if you want to make confession. You respond if you want to be baptized. At this time, we have a song of encouragement.